So if you're a parent or a grandparent, you can imagine Sarah. She's 2 years old. She's extremely happy. She is busy. She's always moving. She's always active. And she's just aware of the amazing thing that is the gift of life. But when you're two and you're playing so busily, you get hungry in the afternoon. So Sarah goes into the kitchen and she says, "Mama, banana." And her mom gives her a banana. And Sarah runs back out of the room. And Jody, her mom, says, "Sarah, what are the magic words?" And Sarah says, "Please, thank you, you're welcome, God bless you, I love you, Mommy." And at that point, Sarah got a second banana. Well, these are indeed the magic words, and St. Ignatius of Loyola, who lived 500 years ago, said that gratitude is at the heart of the spiritual life. And conversely, if we are ungrateful, it is the fundamental sin that gets in the way of us being able to draw close to God. So how do we live gratefully? Well, our readings today seem to suggest that grateful people know that they are dependent people. Indeed, in the gospel, the Samaritan who has leprosy cannot heal himself, that the only one who can heal him is the Lord Jesus Christ. And although we do not suffer from literal leprosy, it seems that in that reading from Titus, that there is a way in which the leprosy of Luke is tied with our need for Jesus because of the leprosy of sin. St. Paul gives us the distillation of the gospel in this wonderful verse that underscores our dependence upon Jesus Christ. "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy, through the water of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit." People who are cultivating a grateful attitude know that they are dependent upon the kindness and goodness of Jesus Christ. When this happens, we live out our baptism daily, and we celebrate not only our baptism, what are referred to as the waters of rebirth, but we are daily renewed by the Holy Spirit. And this got me thinking, wow, 10 are healed by Jesus, but only one returns. I think it's kind of like baptism. How many people get baptized in the Roman Catholic Church? Millions. But I would say we might be fortunate if 1 out of 10 really take to heart the reality of what their baptism means. And you, beloved, because I see you every morning, are among that 10%. And so one of the things that we have to realize, though, that it's not just our baptism. It's renewal in the Holy Spirit. And this is something that we are to cultivate daily. And I love the fact that Psalm 23 is paired with Titus and Luke 17. Two things that I want to highlight in that beautiful psalm: that God will bring us to green pastures and still waters. Now, if you know anything about Palestine, it's hard to find those green pastures. Much of the terrain is very rocky indeed. So too with our world. We need the shepherd to guide us to green pastures, and we have discovered that the greenest pasture that we can find is at the Eucharist, where we feed on him. But then there's also this image of the shepherd leading the sheep to still waters. Now, sheep are not the smartest of animals, that their brains are not the sharpest. Not only are they woolly in body, they're woolly in head. And supposedly one of the things that can happen with sheep, if they've got lots of wool and they go to waters that rather than being still are fast moving, and they go into the water, they become saturated, they flip upside down, and you're seeing the sheep go down the river, head down and legs up. Well, I think that too is an apt description of what can happen for us in a world like this. We can be carried away by the fast waters of vice, so aptly described by St. Paul in these vivid prose. "For we ourselves were once foolish, we were disobedient, led astray," kind of like sheep, right? Head down, feet up, going down the river, led astray, "slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, despicable, hating one another. Man, woo, that's strong, St. Paul. But that doesn't apply to me. Well, maybe yes, maybe no. I mean, I don't know. Go on to social media. You seem to see a lot of that kind of language, people who don't even know one another, but the kind of vitriol they're willing to sort of spew and spit at one another seems to speak of these sorts of turbulent waters. Ingratitude leads to that kind of attitude. But conversely, people who are growing and cultivating a grateful heart are cultivating this kind of attitude. Speak evil of no one. Avoid quarreling. Be gentle. And show every courtesy to everyone. What a contrast, eh? The grateful person is a gracious person. An ungrateful person is an ungracious person. There's this great verse in Sirach, chapter 28, verse 12, that goes like this. If you blow on a spark, it will glow. If you spit on it, you will put it out. If you blow on a spark, it will glow. If you spit on it, you will put it out. Yet both come from the same mouth. Isn't that great? What's the point? Well, if you blow on the spark, you're going to start a fire. Kind of like those who blow vitriol. But if we spit on it, we'll put it out. Those are the people who are growing in charity. Thankfulness is very much related to your recognition, my recognition, that we are dependent upon Jesus' generosity. And in turn, that will find expression in our generosity to others. When gratitude is the underlying attitude informing how we live, we will discover that goodness and mercy do follow us all the days of our life. And like the Samaritan, and like Sarah, we will know that indeed thank you is the magic word, allowing us to experience those most famous of words, to dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long.